Abkhazia lies on the eastern shores of the Black Sea. Its status as a verdant paradise is looking a little dusty today, more than 20 years after its war of secession from Georgia. Many buildings in the capital, Suchumi, are shells of their former selves, a testament to a bloody conflict that from 1992 to 93 left around 20,000 dead and permanently displaced more than 200,000 ethnic Georgians. With the help of a hammer to break away frozen padlocks, we enter the city's former Soviet administration building. The building's caretaker, Dawood Adzinba, takes us to the roof, where from 12 stories up, we look out over the capital Sukhumi's palm-dotted boulevards that lead to the harbor on the Black Sea. Adzinba relates how, on the 27th of September, 1993, the separatist army gave Georgian forces an ultimatum to surrender. When they refused, the building was stormed. Abkhaz consider this a day of liberation, though for Georgians it remains a traumatic symbol of a defeat that spelled the end of the war and the beginning of a stalemate that persists more than 20 years later. Abkhazia remains very sensitive here in the Caucasus. Georgia continues to claim it as its territory, a stance backed by most international bodies, including the European Union. Today, Russian forces guard the border and station troops in the territory. But there's more to this country than burned buildings and open wounds. The population of 200,000 people here are trying to make a fresh start, and Abkhazia has managed to rebuild much of its tourism infrastructure, including hotels, cafes, and restaurants. But if there was any hope that the nearby Sochi Games would be a boon for Abkhazian tourism, it didn't last long. Moscow has given security preeminence over other concerns. It imposed an 11-kilometer security buffer inside Abkhazia that's jointly patrolled. It's also stopped any private and commercial vehicles from crossing, except by special permit, effectively shutting down almost all legal trade.
Okay. So basically he recommends that within this 11-kilometer zone, obviously it's best not to have the interviews.
Our initial attempts at interviewing people at the border were frustrated by a polite yet firm Abkhaz official who said journalists weren't allowed to work inside the buffer zone. So we went around the corner to a nameless cafe to get a second opinion. The proprietress, Gunda, had a lot to say on the subject. She says added restrictions made the nearby Olympics an extra burden on local people, who make a living carrying goods back and forth on foot to supplement their Russian pensions that equal about 100 euros a month.
People work at the border and carry goods across it. That's their job, their livelihood. But during the Olympics, they've told us, you can't go there, you can't do that. And so people just sit around.
She points to a pair of women at a table finishing a modest lunch.
Look at these women. They live at the border. They've left their families there and are living here in someone else's house. They are the breadwinners, but they've arrived and there's no work.
The women nod in agreement, but are then quick to affirm their allegiance to the Russian Federation. It's Russia, they say, that pays them a pension that helps them survive, which is why they root for Russian athletes at Sochi. Abkhazians can't root for Abkhazia because this state isn't recognized internationally. Athletes here compete under the Russian flag when they go abroad. We seek out Abkhazia's national wrestling coach, Jarnaz Benia. He's keen to show off an impressive-looking gym being built in his hometown of Gudauta, one of nearly a dozen being constructed to develop sport among youngsters. Wrestling is big here, and Benia's coached some world-class athletes, but always under the Russian flag, since his state remains unrecognized.
My wish is that the international community would recognize Abkhazia so it could participate in the Summer Olympics. This is the dream of many coaches and athletes.
Benia is quick to point out that the conflict with Georgia is political, not personal. The two peoples grew up side by side, and even today says he counts many ethnic Georgians as personal friends.
Sport is without borders. Sport brings people together. We don't want conflicts with anyone. We have good relations with Georgian athletes, and I have many athlete friends in Georgia.
The country's international isolation makes things difficult, though. Investment comes from businesses in Russia, and to a smaller extent, Turkey. Even so, official figures show that 40% of the state budget comes from the Russian Federation, that the actual number could be even higher. Abkhazia's 34-year-old economic minister, David Akhapovich, says his country remains committed to its independence. For example, local laws don't allow foreigners, including Russians, to buy property, which may hinder development, but keeps them from being swallowed up by foreign investment. He insists that support from Moscow is meant to be a temporary arrangement.
With this financial help from the Russian Federation, we can recover and we can earn enough money to make our economy independent.
Despite his optimism, Georgia makes sure that the country remains isolated, as the Deputy Foreign Minister David Jalaganya in Tbilisi confirmed.
No recognition can happen because the country cannot recognize as independent any piece of its territory. That never will happen.
So the stalemate continues. Abkhaz separatists ask for international recognition, while Georgia's government wants to displace people to return home and Russian troops to exit the territory. Both sides talk past each other, and it's ordinary people who are caught in the middle. Jacob Resnick, DW, Sukhumi.